All right, Wellness Wednesday. We're talking about cigarettes or stopping smoking because, of course, as I mentioned before the break, it is that time of the year where people might choose to go off something for Lent. Maybe it's smoking. Fiona Boyle is smoking cessation advisor at HSE West. Good morning to you. Thanks for joining us.
Morning, Greg.
And we're also also joined by Marion Potts, former smoker.
Former.
Okay, you can say that comfortably. Right, okay. Fiona, you know, someone needs to be ready to stop smoking don't they?
Yep.
So this today is really an opportunity for us to talk about it or for someone to start preparing themselves for it. We're not necessarily saying, are we, that if you don't feel up to it today or you're not in the right brain space, then maybe today's not the right day today.
Yeah, but I suppose it is. It allows us to bring up the conversation about it, which is probably apt from the point of view that we know that the majority of people who do smoke tobacco don't want to, and 50% make a quit attempt every year. So the chances are, by bringing it up, it may well be that we can capture some people who actually might be interested in stopping.
And then there are those that do want to stop, but even the thought of doing so fills them with dread and fear and anxiety, and they choose the path of least resistance and kick the can down the road.
Like, exactly.
I'll give up when I'm 21, I'll give up when I'm 25, I'll give up when I'm 30. Mm-hmm.
And I suppose that's why we're really encouraging. We have a very friendly stop smoking service here in Donegal with 4 practitioners. There's 15 clinics throughout the county. So even just to make a phone call, you mightn't be ready at the moment, but it might be just to get engaged, and that. But then whenever you are ready, you might be more likely to actually get involved with the programme.
Marion, when did you start smoking?
Well, I started smoking when I was 13 and smoked right through till I was 27. And then I had the babies, and that was a good enough reason to give the cigarettes up. And it was, you know, it was quite easy because you were thinking about your kids. Mm-hmm. And then time went on, and 23 years later, then I lost my dad in February, and then I lost my brother in July, and then I lost my other brother in October. So I had lost 3 members of my family within 7 months, and the grief took over. And then, because it was so long since I had gave up the cigarettes, I forgot the reasons why I gave them up. And then, you know, I'd have swore that I would never have smoked again, but the grief took over and I started up again.
They were one of your crutches, in terms of your grief.
Aye. Yeah,
and I
definitely.
Suppose in that moment when you made that decision, it probably seemed like an insignificant decision with everything else you were processing.
Aye, definitely.
Yeah. And did you start smoking? How long ago was that, Marion?
2014.
Then did you smoke consistently up until the time you gave up?
Well, I probably gave up. I gave up, it was a year yesterday. Mm-hmm. And then a couple of years ago, you know, I was trying to give them up.
You kind of off on and off type of smoker, weren't you?
Well, I had the 24 years, we could say sober eye from
exactly.
the bags.
Yeah, but in your second coming of the smoking.
Aye, and then I'm kind of, whenever when you start back up again, it's like you're back in it just from the day one, you
the
know
what I mean? Drag.
Oh, yeah. I was up in the morning, fag before my coffee, last thing at night, waking up in the middle of the night and having a cigarette, you know, so I was really addicted.
So how then, after when you restarted smoking and you're working through the grief and loss, then did you sort of start going, I'm actually back smoking properly again?
Aye.
And why did you want to stop again?
Because I was constantly getting chest infections.
Yeah.
My health was terrible. Mm. My energy levels was gone. I was absolutely scunnered with myself that I was like being in a jail, constantly thinking about the cigarettes. I was smoked tobacco, so the whole process, it was taking up my whole thoughts. Right, get the tobacco, get the roll-ups, get the tips, going to the shops, constantly thinking about it, constantly rolling them up, constantly, you know, the whole...
It's not a casual habit. It's habit that takes up your time.
So much
and
your brain power.
And I think, too, sometimes we go to the ultimate, Fiona, when we talk about the dangers of smoking. In other words, death, right? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? 1 in 2 get cancer. These are very well proven. I don't think anyone really disputes, although I heard a few things during COVID, we'll not even go down that route. Very few people would dispute that these are incredibly dangerous. If this was a new product, they would never come to market, simply would never, ever come to market. So, you know, if you're generally decent, got decent health, really, we only think of it about being death, but it's not. These severely impact people's everyday lives. They shorten lives, obviously, as I've mentioned. And people can thankfully we're living longer now, but we want those last extra decade or two that we get now to be in good health, don't we? But if you smoke for 30, 40, 50, 60 years, you know, those years could be a nightmare.
Absolutely. So I suppose, yeah, you've highlighted the fact that tobacco use is the biggest contributing factor to chronic disease. So when we're talking about chronic disease, we're things like asthma, COPD, emphysema, respiratory issues in general, also cardiac issues and cancers. Yeah. Absolutely. But I think, in fairness, you've highlighted the whole control issue as well.
Yeah,
so, I mean,
really
control is a huge reason.
And really honest, Marion, because I don't think a lot of people would want to admit that, that it is actually
so
all-consuming.
Exactly. And taking up your time.
Did you realise that before you gave up the second time, or is it looking back that you sort of go, geez, I did that day?
Well, that was the whole process, what was going on whenever I was smoking. Then I tried to give them up for 5 months. But I didn't. I thought, you know, because I'd done it the first time, that, you know, I could just do
it's
cold turkey
and
it was going to work out the second time, but it just was completely different.
Because you're still dealing with your grief and you don't have the babies as the motivator.
That's it, exactly.
You know, you don't have anyone to put in front of yourself.
No.
You just have to love and care enough about yourself to make such a sacrifice, which how many of us actually can say that about ourselves. And also too, and we're going to go through the stuff that we often do, but I want to sort of take a different approach at this. In that you noticed your health disimproved very, very quickly. And I think what a lot of people don't realise is how quickly your health can bounce back, how quickly climbing a set of stairs, when you get to the top, it's not quite as difficult as it was when you were smoking or bringing the bin up the drive or even lifting. I don't think people realise lifting something is like walking up a set of stairs. You know, you lift a kid up, then you put them down and you're puffing.
Aye.
But very quickly, you can bounce back from that. Your health does start to improve really quite quickly, doesn't it?
Well, my journey was when I went off for 5 months, I didn't look for the help. And I tried to struggle on in myself. And it was a big issue, you know, because I was always, that thought was there, what if I do it again? And, you know, all the kind of negativity. And I tried hard on my own. I had on 3 stone in 5 months, you know, because I wasn't handling it properly. And then last year, I had been sitting at my computer. Oh, no, I'd actually went to the doctor, and I was constantly getting chest infections. And I went to the doctor, and the doctor says to me, Marion, you know, you could have COPD. I had a really bad chest infection, and this was in my mind. But obviously the cigarettes is there telling you no, you're not giving them up, you know. I sat at the computer and it was an article come up from the Sun and it was in conjunction with the HSE quit. Do you want to join the group? Just click the button. And the addiction was saying, are you crazy? What are you doing? You know, because obviously I didn't want to give them up. I loved them that much. But I pressed the button and I was like, oh, what have I done now? I've pressed that button. You don't want to give them up. And a million and one excuses was running through my brain about why I'd done this. Because obviously I didn't want to give it up. And so I'd pressed the button. And the next stage was I got an email from the Sun saying, oh, we're going to let you join up the group. And I was like, oh, no.
Well,
I've done that for
into.
I want my fags. I don't want this. And but then the positive part of my brain was saying, look, control yourself. Just go.
Yeah. It's interesting you mentioned the brain because, you know, the primary function of the brain is to keep us well and to keep us alive. That's what we do. And a lot of that happens subconsciously. Mm-hmm. We don't have any conscious control out of it. And because nicotine's so addictive and the other elements of a cigarette, your brain is telling you, unknowns to yourself, that you need to keep doing this because this is how you function better. This, you know what I mean? And we have to fight that or reprogram it in some way. I'm not a psychologist, but that's kind of what's going on. So we have to convince the brain, I know you're telling me I want a ciggy, right? But I'm telling you that we can take this thing out of our lives and then we'll both be better for it. So we have to sort of work on programming that element of it as well. So I want to talk about the positive as well, which is all of it's positive, Fiona, about how we can bounce back. Now, it's difficult, different for everyone. Some people might have to give up cigarettes because they are quite seriously ill or what have you. But let's just take a... So how quickly then might your body start recovering from smoking?
Okay.
Dangers of smoking.
Yeah, it depends on what your diagnosis is.
And average.
Yeah, exactly.
Shall we just focus maybe for the time being for people who are smokers... They're puffing a bit, right? Mm-hmm. They're blowing a bit, and you know they're getting on a wee bit, and you know what I mean. I think that maybe probably catches
a lot of
big cohort,
clients,
right?
Yeah,
that aren't being told by the GP that if you continue, you know. So
okay, so suppose the most significant factor is within 24 hours of stopping smoking, carbon monoxide, which is one of the poisonous chemicals in tobacco smoke, has left your body. So the kind of symptoms that will give you is exactly what you've described. Things like a bit of shortness of breath, maybe a bit more tired than perhaps you would normally be, maybe having a cat nap in the evening when you sat down, which you never have done before. And we'll often put it down to, I'm getting a bit older. That's the reason. Whereas in fact, what we find is when people stop smoking, that isn't happening. So the benefits start straight away. So I suppose one of the we were talking out in the office earlier on, myself and Marion, in relation to the benefits for any age. So like I've had people in their 80s who already have diagnosis of things like COPD, but their day-to-day symptoms can improve by stopping smoking. So it's never too late to stop because that carbon monoxide, which replaces itself for where oxygen should go, has gone. I actually describe it very much like, if you can imagine your body's a bit like a car engine. And when we're smoking tobacco, it's a bit like having dirty petrol in the car engine. It's going to eventually start chugging and spluttering and just not going very well. Whereas when you stop smoking, it's like having clean petrol in the car engine. So it's going to run much smoother. Compared to before.
And in terms of sort of things like lung capacity, you know, providing there hasn't been damage from COPD,
absolutely,
which cannot be reversed, but it can be
So within the first 3 months, there can be a dramatic change in your breathing and your lung capacity.
And blood, how your blood performs, processes oxygen, all that kind of stuff.
Well, that's all to do with the carbon monoxide. So within 24 hours, that already has started to improve. Things like your blood pressure can improve, your cholesterol can improve. So we often take high-dose medications to help lower blood pressure and lower cholesterol, whereas if you're a tobacco user, the single most important thing you could actually do for either of those conditions is to stop smoking.
All right, okay. We're going to talk more about this, right? The elephant in the room, though, is, and well, you're not going to talk about it, is that a lot of people have successfully given up smoking through vaping. It's different in England. The NHS sort of see this as a tool. We don't here, right? So does that help or hinder what you're doing here? Because, you know, what happens is people are replacing one addiction with another, right? Now, they say, the Royal College of Surgeons say it's 95% less harmful, but there's still 5% equally as harmful. I'm not going to get into those figures because they could be disputed.
It's Public Health England, actually.
Public Health England, sorry. Okay. Mm-hmm. I'll have to double check that, but I think you'd know more about this than me. But anyway, so, you know, why not go in, get a vape, cut out a lot of the stuff that's in a cigarette, but you still have the habit and you can still have it before your coffee. Why not that route, which is another path of least resistance, versus some of the techniques we're going to talk about?
So suppose, again, we will work with anybody in relation to any adult, any over 18s who wants to come to the programme. If they choose to use electronic cigarettes as part of their programme, we will work with them with that. We're an evidence-based service.
Of course.
So we have to go with what the evidence says. And we know that the evidence is very strong in relation, if you use the appropriate combination nicotine replacement therapy, along with the appropriate behavioural support, which is what we would offer, then you are 4 times more likely to be successful at quitting. So we don't need the electronic cigarettes per se. The unfortunate thing is, and exactly as you've described, about 70% of people in Ireland don't come anywhere near stop smoking services, don't come anywhere near their GP, will actually try to do it by themselves with very limited success.
And end up smoking and vaping at the same time. And also what we're seeing now is an increase in teenagers who have never smoked but actually have an addiction so strong to vaping that we're probably going to see programmes like this for them.
And nationally they're looking at that at the moment.
That's where we're at,
There is a tsunami coming down the road, unfortunately, and the Health Research Board a few years ago actually did some research on exactly the cohort you've described, young teenagers starting to vape, and they are now 5 times more likely to start smoking. Whereas our tobacco rates for young people have been reducing since 1995, and they've now started to go up again.
And we have never been more sort of acutely aware in following the money. Do you know what I mean? And what big business and big organisations do. Look at the tobacco companies. Look where now they're investing their money. They're moving their money from cigarette creation into vaping and stuff. Yeah. And one feeds the other. So, you know what I mean? As I say, we're all acutely aware and like to call it out.
Yeah.
But that's another example. Okay. We're going to hear more from Fiona Boyle, Smoking Cessation Officer at the HSE West, and Marion Potts, who's a non-smoker, after we take a quick break. If you have any questions for either of the two of them, and I think obviously Fiona always has fantastic advice for us, but Marion's been there and done that as well recently, okay, and typical. I'm not saying you aren't, but you're the professional, right? And me and Mary were the mugs. All right.
I did speak for yourself.
I know, but you're. But do you know what I'm on about? It's just the practical things, like because you talked about the weight gain as well. That's not because that's also a health has a health impact. So we're stopping smoking, but we're replacing it with something else. Okay. Okay, now we're in the company of Fiona Boyle, smoking cessation advisor at the HSC. Marion Potts, a former smoker, she gave them up for a second time and is all the better for it. And we're focusing on, what we can do and the positives that come from that. Okay, let's take in Frank, though, in the conversation. Hi, Frank.
Good morning, Greg. Morning, Fiona.
Fiona's listening to you. Go ahead, Frank.
Yeah, I started smoking at age 12. And I don't know how long Fiona was in that job, but she wasn't that long in it when I went to her. I was in my late 50s, probably early 60s, and with her help, I gave up the cigarettes. I'm alive today because of her, and now 76.
Brilliant.
And it's a brilliant service.
How did your health and life change once you gave them up, Frank?
Oh, I came. The cough that I had disappeared. I was able to walk 5K. Things I couldn't do, was able to do.
And at what age did you give them up? 56, did you say?
It was later than that. It might have been around. Must have been. Fiona could tell you that. How long has Fiona?
Well, anyway, listen.
Job?
Come here. We're not drilled down to my point.
Anyway.
My point is this, though, is that for you to get to a position in your health where you began to be able to walk 5 kilometres, that you were able to get rid of that tickly cough. And it's going to be different for different people. But there's a great bit of hope in that, that later on in life, that you could see the differences, that you actually got out walking, stuff that you couldn't do before. What we might reserve for maybe 25, 30-year-olds, Frank, it's very positive, I think, that kind of change you had that kind of change.
Indeed. And still active. And but a year after I gave them up, I put the money that I was spending on cigarettes aside and I bought a boat 12 months later.
What kind of boat?
With the money.
What kind of, was it a wee cab on it?
No.
A punt? I like boats, Frank. No. I want to talk about boats now.
It's an inflatable.
Oh, lovely. Like a rib or...
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Fantastic. Excellent. More brilliant. Right. Wow. Yeah. So you were able to deliver that to yourself with all that money you saved. Brilliant, Frank. Lovely story. And I think the key thing that came from your comment is that you believe that you're around today and healthy and active because of your initial engagement with Fiona and the support that you received. And I think that's a beautiful message, Frank, to end the call on. Yeah.
Thanks, Frank.
And thank you very much, Fiona.
All right, bye-bye.
You're welcome.
And this is an absolute sincerity in that, Fiona.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. And I think I remember him now.
That he recognises that he's where he's at now because of the supports. Right, I don't want to flip-flop.
And I suppose that's something just Greg, in relation to that as well. Often the fear of engaging with us is what will prevent a lot of people from actually joining the service.
It's a man thing too. It's the same thing why we won't go into a GP's and get our bloods tested.
Yeah.
Because we think something's going to come from it, not that's not good.
Yeah.
But again, it's the brain. Mm-hmm. Tricking us to some extent outside of our full control. Yeah. Right, so Fiona, I'm ready. Right, so I want to engage in your services. Yeah. So talk to me about how.
Okay, so the initial, so you can refer yourself into the service or you can get a health professional to refer you in. So ordinarily what we would do is we do an assessment on you. So we get your past medical history. Have you got any physical issues related to your tobacco use? We would check your psychiatric history as well in relation to mental health because that can have an influence in some of the medication that we might use. We would also do what we call a decisional balance. So we would actually ask those questions. So what is it that you currently enjoy about smoking? Because often people will say there is some elements that I might enjoy. Often as well, we have lots of clients who they've never asked themselves that question. They just presume they enjoy because they've done it for so long. So we ask them what they enjoy. What don't you enjoy? So what is it that's driving you now to think about stopping smoking? Then we look at what are those concerns that you might have, such as 3 stone in weight. That's a huge concern for a lot of people even before they think about stopping smoking. But also, what are you hoping to get out of it?
Yeah.
So we need to make sure that we're going to be realistic.
Yeah.
So if somebody's got really bad COPD and they're expecting to run the Dublin City Marathon, then obviously that's an
expectation.
Exactly.
Can I chuck another cohort in there if you don't mind? People who went to the doctor worried there was something wrong with them. They're smokers. And the doctor has given them a clean bill of health. Now's the time. You're in a perfect position to go from there.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, often we use the trigger of bad news what could, you know, the doctor's just says, you know, your bloods are pretty good. You're a bit low on vitamin D, but we can sort that out. Lung capacity, not too bad. Give them up now. You've got it. You know what I mean? You can pretty much, you know, really, really help to maintain at least that, if not improve. Yeah. You know, so rather than us being, get a health scare and stop smoking, get some good health news and stop smoking.
Absolutely. So we would have done, in fact, over the last 2 to 3 weeks, we would have actually done some meetings with the GPs in the evenings for their clinical medical education meetings, where, like that, we're advertising the fact that there is free nicotine replacement therapy now for anybody who joins the service, whether you've got a medical card or not, but also that whole brief intervention piece. So it's having those conversations with their patients, whether or not there's a condition happening or whether or not there's a potential for a condition to happen. And GPs are very positive towards our service as well. So if you have that conversation with the GP can either refer you on themselves, or they might give you a business card for us, or contact us yourself.
Right, so you've asked me the questions, legitimate questions too, for the best of my care in terms of physical health currently, mental health history and what have you. Then what happens?
So we would look at then, how ready are you to do this?
I'm ready to go.
Okay, so the three questions I will specifically ask you is, how important is it for you right now to do it? Have you got any other competing priorities? So if there's a lot of stuff going on in your life, now may not be the best time. And how confident are you in your own ability to be able to do it? If your confidence is low, which it often is, then we might do some work on the confidence side of it, first of all.
So in other words, I go, look, I think with everything that's going on, the cost of living, I think if I try to do this now, I'm going to be banjaxed. You don't say, right, good luck, come back.
No, you'll
say, right, well, what can we do then to get you into a better place?
So this whole service is client-centred, Greg. It has been from the get-go, way back in 2004. So it's very much about having the conversation as to where the client is at and then trying to support them to move along. The one thing that we are specific with the client is that at some stage there will be a quit day. So it's moving towards that quit day.
But it's not that day.
It doesn't have to be that day. In fact, from our perspective, it's often better if it's not that day, because we won't have done the preparation work with the client. Sure. So it's very much about keeping the client centred, working out what it is that's the obstacles in their lives, what are the dilemmas, what are the triggers that they normally go through, and actually getting them to try and deal with those triggers even prior to stopping smoking, and maybe in conjunction with some of the nicotine replacement therapy as well, depending on the individual.
Started smoking age 12, gave them up at 57. Thank you, Fiona. Without your help, I probably would not be here today. I'm now 76. I wonder, is that Frank?
It sounds as if his statistics yet.
It is. I don't think it is, anyway. Oh. Re-giving up smoking. I've been trying for years and still trying now using patches, and steer clear of anyone smoking. It's like shock to my blood. Oh, right, I'm like a shark to blood, okay. My question is, I can't stop using the patches soon, as I'm 2 days off the patches. I need nicotine. I can get more patches, but they take a good 8 to 10 hours before they start working. Are the patches safe long term? So this is someone doing it by themselves, and they have an absolute dependence on the patches.
Please call us, first of all. In relation to the patches, any of the treatments that people use for stopping smoking, we would encourage them to use them for 12 weeks. So you would be on the high strength patch for the first 8 weeks.
Yeah.
Then you go into a medium strength patch for two and a lower strength patch.
It sounds
patch
to me
two.
Like that person's trying to fix the roof on a house where the walls need a bit of attention
first. So
and no matter what they do, it's always, they're going to keep going around in circles. That's why you, so listener, please, you seem to be really keen to do it. You want to do it. Get on the phone to Fiona and the team, and they will offer you the supports that aren't there at the moment to help you through this whole thing. That's what you're there for,
100%.
And I want to be speaking to this lady or gentleman in 20 years' time saying, well, we had that, I made that call, and now look where I'm at. Right, okay, go ahead.
I think just, Greg, in relation to that as well, so often whenever people are thinking about stopping smoking, they look at the addiction side of it, and they might use nicotine replacement therapy. They often don't use anywhere near enough of it. But the other two aspects of tobacco addiction that we would very much hone in on is the behavioural aspect of it, so the habits that we've created over the years on our addiction, but also the emotional attachment. So most of us would have been teenagers when we started smoking, and at that stage we were learning how to deal with life, and often if we smoked or vaped, that's what we do instead. It's about supporting them to develop new skills that they can actually utilise at those times when they might be stressed, they might be anxious, they might be celebrating. So it can be positive emotions as well
as
negative
emotions. It's amazing too, because again, the psychology of it around that time when you're a teenager, you're coming to a next stage of your life, so you're surrounding yourselves with a support system.
Exactly.
You know, before you head on to adult life, and cigarettes can form part of that. So it's ingrained, and your brain again is saying, no, we need that, because that was what sort of hugged us when we were teenagers. How did you deal, Marion, with the habit stuff? You talked about first thing in the morning, a ciggy, cup of coffee, even the whole process that you went through in terms of making the cigarette. Do you know what I mean? There's a routine there. I'm sure you probably did it on the clock all the time. So how did you break that, or did the easing off the addiction help in that regard or what?
Well, I did. I initially had used the patches. You know, they were fine, but I actually found the Nicorette spray, which is instant on your tongue or the side of your cheek, gave me that quick hit.
So it gave you, got you through that...
Oh, yeah, definitely.
...little period of pressure. Okay,
then... 100%. And also, you get the chewing gum as well. So there's variations what you can do. You know, I started off in the patches, then it was the Nicorette and a wee piece of chewing gum. And I can honestly say in the past year, I've never craved a cigarette. I think it's really important that you attend the group sessions. It's fantastic because... as Fiona says, you don't need to give them up, you know, joining the group therapy. But because you're doing it in a group with other folk, it's fantastic, the support of other people.
Because you know, what there's we other do without that.
Through the journey
along with you. Marion, we announce that we're going to give up cigarettes, you know, and we tell everyone around us, and then instantly... put the pressure on, because the worst thing could happen is that you're seen as a failure amongst the people you care about. Do you know what I mean? Whereas you're in a state whereby you're talking to other people that will kick you on and go, do you know what? I actually think I can do this. Other people are empowering you with that information.
Yeah, and you're not committed to actually, right, you have to give up this now in this state. So you can go in for a few weeks and you're sitting with other folk and you're feeling their pain. You can see their nervousness. They're about to go on the same journey as you. And even that, psychologically, knowing that there's other people with you on this journey, that helps along.
Yeah. Now, also, too, with you, now your clothes don't smell of cigarettes. You don't, if you can go visiting.
My chest is completely, I've never had a chest infection.
The health side of it's fine, but I want to get to the sort of... So, in other words, even visiting, right? You don't have to worry about visiting someone if this is a non-smoking house.
No.
If it's a long car journey, if it's a flight, ferry, you know what I mean? You don't have the... I don't think people who don't smoke realise how smoking affects an awful lot of what you do. Even going in for lunch. You're going, Christ, an hour?
Every minute of the day, you're looking, if you're in the airport, you're looking to go out of the front door to have a cigarette. How am I going to cope on this flight for 2 hours? You know, it just takes over your brain. It's a nightmare.
And not
I'm
a single
totally
for
free
you.
Now. Yeah, I don't have that at all. Yeah. It's actually, even in a year, it's totally faded that I'm forgetting already.
Yeah.
You know, how controlling it was.
And is it intertwined too with your life experience too in what you were coping with, that great loss that unfortunately as we get older we encounter it unless it's us that goes.
But you know what
has that helped in that process as well? Has it form, has it been, have you connected it with your grieving process at all, or is it something separate for you?
Definitely it's been through the grief, but the problem is you take on the cigarettes, you get over the grief and you're left with the addiction.
Yeah, I get you.
You know, which is crazy.
Right, can you help someone who becomes angry when they stop smoking and are always looking for a row? I live with someone like that. Now, that is, there's a lot going on there, isn't there? This is, you're not speaking here now to the person who gets angry, you're speaking to the poor unfortunate that has to endure it. In other words, this person dreads, I would say, when the other half says, I'm going to give up the cigs, you know.
Yeah.
So the anger thing. Is that do we use that as an excuse or something as well? Sometimes as well, not to do it? I don't know.
Well, it's certainly a natural withdrawal.
Yeah, okay.
So whenever your body is... nicotine's got a half-life of 2 hours. So essentially, when you have a cigarette, most people will have another cigarette within the next 2 hours because their levels are going low. When you decide to stop smoking, obviously your levels are going to go low, low, low. Depends if you're using the right treatment, then that'll actually keep them more comfortable, where you're less likely to have those anger issues. Mm-hmm. But if you're not using the treatment properly, if you're not using treatment at all, you will go into withdrawals quite quickly. So those withdrawals will only last a short time, but it's about how to deal with them. So nicotine replacement therapy can certainly help there, but also that's that whole emotional piece that we
talked about. Do you give exercises that people can employ?
All of that, absolutely. So I suppose it's the anger... it tends to last for a couple of minutes, but we tend to spout off about a weekend.
Are men or women worse or
not? I'll take the Fifth Amendment on that one.
Marion.
Oh, I was totally a pacifist.
Yeah, okay. So
But it's certainly, I mean, what I would say, again, if that person wants to speak to ourselves, but also what I would go back is to look at why are they stopping in the first place?
Yeah.
So are they stopping because they're getting a bit of grief from at home? So are they stopping because they feel they have to rather than they want to?
I think too, what that person might do, and if it's the partner, let's say, you need to actually go on the journey with them. In other words, like, you know, because they'll benefit in the long run and say, right, come here, you know, I'm going to work with you whilst you work with the smoking cessation team, do you know what I mean? And work through those little spells at the same time.
Yeah, I think, you know, people struggle on their own and that itself would make you more maybe angry or anxious or whatever.
You don't understand me.
Whereas if you equip yourself with the tools, which I've done this time, with the Nicorette and the patches, you know, it really does help. It really does, because I feel the difference from 5 months.
I was just going to say that, actually. That what a lot of people don't realise is when we smoke, we use deep breathing and time out a lot. And that's one of the things that often people, when we stop smoking, we forget to do.
Yeah.
So if you somebody who smokes 20 times a day, that means they're taking anywhere between 200 and 400 deep breaths just to smoke.
That's okay, yeah.
And then they decide, I'm stopping smoking, but yet they're not doing the deep breathing, but yet we know that's the bit that actually is the relaxing part. So
there you go.
Simple little tips like that
it's
can help.
It's simple, but it's complex in a way. Right, so then, you know, the carbon monoxide levels stop dropping really quickly. When do we get over the hump of the we're talking averages here. When do we go over the hump of the worst cravings through the process with you?
Yeah. So the generally speaking, the withdrawals last for about 4 to 6 weeks in general. So withdrawals, when we're talking about there, is things like mood changes. So you've identified anger. So it could be bad moods, low moods, irritability, easily annoyed. Anxiety or restlessness can often be a trigger as well, or withdrawal. Things like constipation can be a trigger. Coughs can be a withdrawal. And then the most common withdrawal is cravings.
And the coughs one's interesting, because I know a number of people that said, I tried to stop smoking and my cough got worse, so they started smoking again.
And that can be the case. So if we think about it, and again, I try to explain things simply, Greg, because that's how I understand them. But
you've also met me before.
So if we think about in relation to smoking, so when we're smoking a cigarette, especially if we do it for a long period of time, there's 7,000 chemicals coming into our body every time we take a drag of a cigarette. Yeah. So it's almost like they're compounding down. When we stop smoking, all of a sudden, the body and all the different senses get a chance to actually...
So we're cleaning the chimney, really.
To an extent, yes. Yeah. So it actually gets a chance to relieve itself. So often the cough, in fact, the cough, I would often say to clients, is actually a good sign that your body's actually trying to repair itself, rather than, providing it's not infected. Obviously, if it's infected, it needs to get looked at. But generally speaking, allow the cough to be there and stuff's better out than in.
Right, so see it as a positive byproduct of what you're doing, because your body's,
trying to recover.
It's recovering.
Yeah,
okay,
absolutely.
Right.
So just going back to your question, first 4 to 6 weeks is roughly when the withdrawals will be there. Obviously, depending on what's going on in your life, can have a factor there. The withdrawals that tend to last longer than that are things like the sleep issues that some people might have, and also the constipation. They tend to last longer. But the cravings, if you're equipped with the tools as to how to deal with it, which is certainly a lot of what we would discuss in the clinic, they tend to last much shorter.
And if you change your diet a little bit or do a bit of exercise, maybe you can overcome the sleeping and the constipation side of things, say, for example. Right, okay. How do people get in contact?
So we've just developed a new website. So stopsmokingdonegal@hse.ie, live from this week. Also, my own phone number is 087-251-4790.
Which we'll retain because...
Perfect. Yep. And then we just let you know, we have three other Stop Smoking practitioners throughout the county. So we've got Sarah Thompson up in Inishowen, we've got Don Hanna in sort of East and South Donegal, and then we have got Cara Curd over the West.
Right, give it a go, folks. There's a bit of negativity here, but the positivity of this would far outstrip the difficult time, I would hope, for most of you out there. You are far more likely to quit smoking engaging with the smoking cessation advisor. Ringing the phone line or accessing the website does not mean that that moment you have to stop smoking. A process begins, and there's a professional team that knows what works, and they will work with you and support you, tool you up, equip you with the patches or whatever you might need, but also tips on how you deal with the inevitabilities of giving up smoking in terms of moods and what have you. Right, okay. First
of all,
Kieran O'Donnell there, knocking at the door looking to
Sorry, Kieran. So there's free nicotine replacement therapy available for everybody now. So even if you don't have a medical card, which we can get your free medication through there as well, then that's great. Also, we work with the Inishowen Development Partnership and also the DLDC, and we're running some group programs as well. It's called We Can Quit. And it's like, as you described there, Marianne, it's very much that camaraderie piece as well. So you can access a group program or you can access a face-to-face one-to-one service.
All right, okay. And?
And could I just present Marion with her 1 year certificate for having done so well?
Thank you.
She was a year quit yesterday.
Turn it around, let's have a look. Ooh, that's actually quite fancy.
Well done.
I'll be up in the wall. Thanks, Fiona.
I wonder maybe you got special treatment with the frame. I'm not sure.
That's lovely.
Everybody gets the certificate, but yes, you don't get special treatment with the frame.
I was thinking. But look, Marion, I'm delighted to hear that things are going so well for you, particularly with everything that you've been through, and that now you're in your second phase, as a third phase, really, as a non-smoker, and you really feel powerful and strong in it, don't you?
Yeah.
Which is wonderful. And great to hear that your health is improving as well. Fiona, lots of people listening and they've been texting in who you've really genuinely made a difference in their lives, which I think is a gift.
Thank you.
For you to have, but also to receive that from people. All right, let's do it. Thanks so much for calling in.
Business Matters, in association with ATU Donegal's Faculty of Business. If you're an owner or manager in a food production business, consider the new 1 year Level 8 Higher Diploma in Food Business and Product Innovation. It's just 1 3-hour lecture weekly. Call 918-6600 or email gary.mcgill@atu.ie.
Kieran O'Donnell's in with us now to talk about the podcast, but first we'll get some news. And I think this was discussed on the show with Donal either Thursday or Friday last week. I wasn't here, so I missed it. The Milford Town Plan, Kieran.
Yes, indeed, Greg. Donegal County Council has appointed GM Design Associates to prepare a town centre first plan for Milford. So this project is being funded through the Town and Village Renewal Fund programme, and as part of the consultation process that I think began last week and runs until Thursday, March the 9th, the public is invited to come along to an open drop-in event today between 3 p.m. and 8 p.m. at the Milford Public Services Centre.
Yeah. So it's your town, your future, get in there and have your say.
Very much.
All right, okay. Leo webinar coming up.
Yeah, the First Steps to Export Success webinar will take place on Monday, March the 6th. This online event is aimed at businesses that are considering expanding into international markets or who are early stage exporters. The webinar has been organised by the local enterprise offices in conjunction with Enterprise Ireland and Boer Bia, and will be hosted by the presenter of RTE's The Business, Richard Curran. So just check out Leo's socials for more on that, Greg.
All right, okay. Inflation remains a concern, Kieran.
Yeah, Irish consumer sentiment is on the up, but inflation remains a key concern, and that is according to a new survey by Deloitte. The findings show that 76% of Irish respondents are concerned that the prices of everyday purchases will go up. And while that's down 2% in last month, it remains the highest of all 24 countries.
Yeah, indeed. And yet we have the strongest economy in inverted commas.
Yeah, it's a strange sort of a balance.
And we have a prediction of 3% interest before the end of the year. But I always, it amuses me, not in a good way, when they talk of, you know, a fall in inflation, say from 9 to 7%, as if this is good news. But prices are still going up 7% instead of 9%. You know what I mean? It's still...
It's not been factored in.
Yeah, we're in an inflationary economy. Yeah. Okay. Building Better business event taking place soon.
Yeah, the keynote address at the Building Better business event in the Northwest is taking place on Friday, March the 3rd at Donegal ATU. Will be delivered by the Minister for Enterprise, Trade and Employment, Simon Coveney. Building Better Business is the first in a series of free events for businesses that will highlight the opportunities and challenges presented by digital transformation and decarbonisation.
That's okay. He was on the show last week, missed the opportunity to have a chat with
him. There's quite a lot of events happening in the Northwest, Greg.
There is. You know, it's good to see it.
Yeah.
Right, okay. Slowdown in house price growth. Something close to
I'm glad you hit the ball over that. Yeah. I'll just read below. The annual rate of increase in house prices fell to 7.8% in December. That's according to the Central Statistics Office's latest residential property price index. This was down from 8.5% in November and from a height of 15.1% in March 2022. That's a massive increase in just under a year, or massive decrease, as you'd say. And yet the latest prices for households show a paid medium or middle price of $305,000 for a home in 12 months to December. So the highest price, Greg, was $430,000 in Dublin, and the lowest was $152,000 in Longford.
And just like the inflation figures, whilst we're talking about a drop in house prices, we're not actually talking about a drop in house prices, and you made this very clear. We're talking about a reduction in the increase in house prices. So someone looking to purchase a house... Yes, it's not at 15.1%, but the price of building a house or buying a house is going to increase by 7.8% year on year, which is massive. Because you, between approval for a mortgage and actual purchase, you're wondering, well, where am I going to, this shortfall here? And also in places like Donegal, I don't know if there's much property changing hands, and we're not getting a real sort of sense of what's going on here. All interesting stuff, all interesting news as ever. Right, okay. What's this week's podcast all about, Kieran?
Yeah, it's keeping with the building theme, Greg. On this week's Business Matters, I am joined by the director of Buildcost, Liam Langan. Liam established the quantity surveying practice with former work colleague Jason Tully in 2012. The company opened a second office in Letterkenny last year and currently employs 22 people. Buildcost has recently secured contracts in the UK and is planning to have a bigger presence there in 2023. During our conversation, I asked Liam what the best lesson was that he'd learned in business.
I've learned a lot of lessons, some the hard way, but I think probably the best lesson really is to surround yourself with a very, very good team. I suppose, look, I'm lucky. Look, it starts with your parents, your big influence on you. They're very supportive. When I was going through college and when I went to Dublin first, very fortunate then with the business partner, Jason. Like we interact very well together. It doesn't mean that we don't challenge each other as well, because I think you have to have that. But look, we've worked really, really well together before Buildcost, and that's still true. I suppose then when I got married to my wife Anne, like she's been a real rock of support as well. And then look, the team that we have. So I think probably the team. And then look, maybe second of all then is, look, it's just to have an open mind as well, like, because things do change, and you might not always have the best idea yourself. So seek help from people that are better placed to give you that advice.
Yep, and another business employing, growing, and the general population may not be aware of what they're doing. So that's another advantage of your podcast, Kieran.
Yeah, look, Liam, himself and a former work colleague decided to sort of go on their own 11 years ago, Greg. It was a two-person team, but that has grown now to a team of 22 and looks like expanding again maybe this year. They've worked on local projects, they've worked on national projects, and they're, I suppose, starting to dip their toe into the UK market. So a great success story, and the fact that they've opened the office in Letterkenny last year shows that he's coming back home. He's a native of Dunfanaghy, so he's coming back to his roots here in Donegal as well in terms of his business interest.
Yeah, and just to remind listeners, there's a huge bank of Business Matters podcasts available for you to listen to at your leisure. How many is it now, Kieran?
132, Liam is 3, yeah.
Right, so, and as I say, it's not like the news necessarily whereby we're on about what's happening today. These podcasts are timeless for the most part. You get a fantastic insight into how businesses are run, how they're established, the challenges. There's a lot of crossover there, and it's interesting, like programs like Dragon's Den and Shark Tank in America and Canada. A lot of people who start in businesses watch those shows because they get tips about the mistakes people make, the things you need to get right. And here we have a resource for anyone in business or looking to start a business of the best business brains across the Northwest. They talk about their failures, they talk about their successes, and they talk about their challenges. A fantastic resource for anyone interested in business, but also what it is a conversation about people and the people of our community and our region and how they're doing for themselves. So there's something for everyone in the Business Matters podcast. The latest episode, as you've just heard, is available for you right now on our website, highlandradio.com, in the listen back section, and also available for you on Spotify and iTunes. A lot of people also would listen to it as a scheduled show on a Sunday, Kieran.
Yeah, after the 6 o'clock news, Greg, on Sunday evening.
And if anyone wants to get in contact with you, any feedback, any suggestions in terms of content and what have you, maybe they think they want to come on the show or whatever, how do they get in touch with you?
Just drop me an email, please, Greg. businessmatters@highlandradio.com.
All right, Kieran, listen, I look forward to chatting to you next week. Thanks so much for joining us.
Good morning, Greg.
It's been a pleasure as always.
Business Matters, in association with ATU Donegal's Faculty of Business. If you're an owner or manager in a food production business, consider the new one-year Level 8 Higher Diploma in Food Business and Product Innovation. It's just one 3-hour lecture weekly. call 918-6600 or email gary.mcgill@atu.ie.
Okay, it's pretty much the end of the show for today. Quick comment here. Did I hear you right? Greg, Ireland is training soldiers to fight in Ukraine, so we could presume that the protesters are partly correct when they say there's been an increase in mostly young military men disguised as refugees, but possibly foreign mercenaries here training to fight in Ukraine. Ireland is no longer neutral then. They're not training here. A lot of the young unvetted males, I've never been vetted myself either, there's a mix there, because there's undocumented, there's those ripping up the passports, there are those that are coming over to try and make a better life for themselves and their families and come on their own. It's a complex one. We don't have time to get into it today. We're back with you tomorrow morning at 9. Any comments or calls we didn't get to, we'll get to then.